You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 278 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, doing something a little bit different today, and joining me for that venture is Cole Zwicker. What's up, Cole?
Not much, man. Just taking the NBA night off, I think, so I'll get back to that tomorrow morning. And yeah, it's fun to talk draft. College season's about to start up. Got some preseason highlights already, so it's already damn it time for me.
Yeah, it's you're a busy man. For those of you that didn't really get that there, Cole is what I would deem as a draft expert, one of the people that I definitely follow and trust their opinions on the draft. And, you know, most Hawks fans are already looking forward to the draft at this point because of how ugly the beginning of the season has been. So I thought it might take a show to kind of preview the draft, at least at the top of the draft with you, just because, you know, college season it's not officially started. But as you mentioned there, there's been some rumblings of preseason stuff, some buzz is starting to build. And I know a lot of Hawks fans probably don't watch a ton of college basketball, but this year I think people are more interested for obvious reasons.
Yeah, it's really tough to follow both. And if you want to watch Hawks basketball consistently with that, I got to keep up with 30 teams. So you have a better conception of profiling guys into certain systems and who needs what, how good relative teams are. So yeah, it's nice. I love the NBA in the beginning of the season because it's like two straight weeks of, you know, good basketball, and then we get into death with college.
Yeah, I still like college, but I am fully aware. I think I'm on an island among diehard NBA people that I still enjoy college basketball. You just have to kind of take it for what it is and not get bogged down in the fact that it's just not as good of a product, and that's kind of where it is. But to that end, I did want to ask you about a bunch of the guys at the top of the draft because all indications are that the Hawks are going to have a pretty high pick. May not be number one, may not be number two, but I'd be pretty surprised if they weren't picking in the top six or seven by the time the draft rolls around. So we can just kind of run the gauntlet here a little bit. Obviously, you know, there's still a full season of college basketball to go and at least one international prospect that still has another season to go that we'll talk about. But, you know, get some preliminary thoughts here from you. It's kind of funny, I've found at least, that most Hawks fans that are looking forward to the draft seem to be centered on Michael Porter Jr., and then I don't think that that's necessarily the guy I would focus on, but I wanted to ask you about him first, just because I think he seems like sort of a fan favorite, at least in the Peachtree Hoops world that I run over in the Hawks universe. So what do you think about Michael Porter Jr.? Is that is he a reasonable contender for number one pick? All those fun things.
Absolutely, yeah. I have a number two currently on my board. I watched a lot of him last year. He played high school basketball about 10 minutes from my house, so I got to see him in some local matchups at the Les Schwab tournament down in Portland. So pretty familiar with him. We just need to see more of a floor game. We haven't seen enough to have like a steadfast, hard-fast opinion on what his upside is. What he is right now and what you can judge by lower levels of play is he seems to have that primary scorer equity, which is probably what Hawks fans are drawn to. Tremendously fluid athlete with above average explosion. Right now, I mean, on these levels of play, these lower levels, really all you can assess is like athleticism, shooting ability, and he has both of those things. He's got really great mechanics, high release, great elevation, good arc. He kind of reminds me of Rudy Gay, not in terms of the player, but just stylistically how he shoots jump shots. He just elevates over the top of guys. He can really pull up at high speeds and transition, knock down NBA threes off the dribble already. And he has really enormous pin down potential offensively. You know, in certain sets, I think that he's going to be utilized really well with his size and ability to shoot on the move. He's also capable of playing the four with that size, 6'10", 214 pounds right now with a 7-foot wingspan, good rebounder, has the feet to switch on the perimeter. And he does show some good timing at the Hoop Summit, for instance. He had a couple nice rotation blocks. So it seems like he profiles as a two-way player. We just need to see the defense. How, like, what is the degree of goodness there? Is he going to be like a dominant switch guy? Can he protect the rim like consistently from the weak side? He's not going to play the five likely, but he is a rare guy size-wise that can play the four. And lastly, it's just the floor game. How good is his field level? Never really seen him pass the ball that well. I'm not saying he can't do it. We just haven't seen it yet. And then his handle. In tight spaces, can he run a pick and roll? Can he really attack off the dribble? He seems to have a decent enough first step, and you have to respect his pull-up jump shot. So there's a lot to work with there for sure. I can get the allure.
Yeah, and I think obviously you've seen him more than I have at this point in time, but I've, the limited amount that I've seen of him, I've been relatively impressed. I think that's kind of funny. I was going to ask you about the positioning because, you know, Hawks fans who watched Al Horford for a long time and are now watching John Collins at the start of his career are always quick to kind of ask the question of what positions the guys should play, because, you know, Horford's was the quote unquote natural power forward that played center for basically his entire time in Atlanta, and now Collins is now playing center. People want to know why he's not playing power forward, so it's kind of a funny thing here in Atlanta. But it seems like, do you think Porter is probably better as a four in the NBA? I know it's kind of tough to pitch a whole lot. I don't want to do that to you necessarily, but people are probably going to ask the question.
He's definitely four capable. I think he's one of those guys where you want to start him at the three and then he swings to the four, kind of like you want to start Collins eventually at the four probably and swing him to the five. So that's how I view him. I'm not sure if he's physical enough right now to take those blows, nor it's always a willingness thing with guys. Do they want to play down a position? Do they want to play the four and take those bangs? But in the playoffs, I definitely think he can play the four and give you a really special dynamic there.
For sure. And just keep an eye out for Hawks fans that don't follow the sport a whole lot beyond that. He'll be at Missouri playing for Quanzo Martin. And by the way, is that a concern for you that you won't see a ton of what you want to see from him? Because I think there's always been a concern with Quanzo Martin guys that you don't necessarily see the full capability offensively, like we saw, you know, Jaylen Brown in college kind of jumps to mind.
Yeah, offensively is definitely a concern. I think he gets guys to defend. So if we get that sample of defense, I think he's going to be projectable enough with his shot that it'll be – He'll profile as a top 3-4 pick in this class if he defends well. I don't think he needs to necessarily show advanced playmaking to be selected that high. That can be developed. If he shows flashes of that, I think that'll be enough. It's more important for defense, and I think that Missouri does a good job of that.
That makes perfect sense. All right, let's go to another guy, and this is the guy who I think I have number one right now, maybe begrudgingly, because I know it's still very early, but Luka Doncic, the one non-college guy I wanted to ask you about over in Europe, very young wing who was fantastic in Eurobasket. I think that's where a lot of people saw him for the first time. What are your impressions of him? Because I think pretty much everybody that's now seeing him, maybe for the first time, obviously not for the first time for you, but people are seeing him and starting to be very, very impressed by him.
Yeah, he's number one on my board as well. His production at that age, playing at a high level of basketball for Real Madrid, and then, of course, in Eurobasket for Slovenia, is pretty much unprecedented for an international prospect. For his skills, it starts with just he's a pick-and-roll master. He's got a solid enough handle. He can pass over the top of defenses, changes speeds well, and he already uses his body to keep guys in jail. You just see advanced tendencies from him that you don't see from many young guys. He's got the pull-up jumper already, can create space with step-backs. His release is a little bit slow, but he does well enough to create separation to get his shot off, and he's tall, so that helps him there. He's kind of the rare 6'8", 6'9" guy where in the NBA you'd have to chase over the top of screens on him, and that really just opens up so much of his game. I think he's going to kill in those settings. Really awesome awareness, great feel. He makes all the skip pass reads and stuff like that. He gets compared to Simmons and Lonzo, kind of that general IQ level, being just super elite. But he's more skilled than a guy like Lonzo, who had those handling issues, wasn't as adept shooting off the bounce because of his form. Luka has all that stuff. He can also operate in the post and draw fouls. So he could probably exploit mismatches offensively. And defensively, he really competes and tries. He has great physicality fighting inside. He's got a great frame. That's his most underrated quality, I think. He's an excellent rebounder and even shows proclivity to rotate for blocks. The issues with him, of course, are can he create separation one-on-one with that athleticism against elite wing defenders? I still think that you can probably put him in pick and roll and get a mismatch in that setting, because few teams have two elite wing defenders. So that's something to look out for. And lateral agility, of course, defensively, can he switch and kind of slide with these guys, these quicker NBA guards? I just overall think the sentiment about him is kind of misplaced. People look at these skill guys that are already really advanced and say, how much can they improve? And, you know, they don't have the athletic upside, because there's this narrative that upside or athleticism equals upside. And you really have to look at these outlier skill guys and say, these guys have a ton of upside as well, because he's in the same class as far, in my opinion, as far as Jokic, Stephen Curry. They're different players, but they all had advanced skills that they can build upon. Like Luka can become a better finisher. He's not explosive, but he can refine his craft. He can speed up his release. So I think that's kind of the narrative behind him and why a lot of people don't have him number one. But again, he's one of those outlier field guys for me that you just don't see that kind of skill level with his make.
Yeah, I have a feeling as people watch him more, if they even do, because that's kind of the thing, is you can kind of tell pretty quickly who's seen him and who hasn't. That's kind of the funny thing when it comes to guys over in Europe, is that you can pretty quickly tell who has seen these guys at least more than once or twice. But yeah, I'm a big fan of his as well. I guess the questions you kind of addressed there was the athleticism is a question. I don't think it worries me a whole lot based on what I've seen, but I think people are going to ask that question, even if it's unfair, honestly. I think even if he was a better athlete than he is, people will probably still ask the question, because because he is European, and it's kind of that stigma of that kind of guy on the wing. But do you think he's, I guess the only thing that you didn't kind of get to there is the, do you think he's like a primary creator offensively? Like, I think people see these, you see a guy potentially going number one in the draft on the wing, and you think, boy, he better be a primary guy on the offensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I should have touched on that probably first overall. No, I do. Cool. I think that that's his upside, but I also think that he can play off ball as well. And for a system like the Hawks, where typically I know they run a lot of 1-5 pick and roll because they need Dennis to score this year, but typically the ball's flying around. Guys like Bembry are great ball movers. He would really fit that kind of scheme. He can play off the ball, space off the catch. He can come off screens and shoot like that. So there's some shot diversity there. But yes, I do think that he can be a primary creator type. He just has that skill level, the size, and especially in pick and roll, I think that's the key to him. Is he's so good there? Like, he's one of the best pick and roll prospects I've seen. So yes, I do.
I am a sucker for guys with high basketball IQ, and it's pretty easy to fall in love with Luke at this point in time if you watch him. So I would encourage Hawks fans, if they find some time, to go ahead and check him out because he's a lot of fun. The other guy, at least for me, and I'm wondering if you feel the same way, but the other guy that I've I don't want to say I'm in love with, but I do, and I think I'm very intrigued by it, but admittedly I've not seen a ton of him because of the fact that he reclassified late, is Marvin Bagley, who is obviously going to be a Duke this year. Do you think he's in that? I know you now said that the Doncic and Porter were your 1 and 2. Do you think Bagley is getting up near that tier? Because I think he's sort of a I don't want to say super divisive prospect, but people just haven't seen him yet, so I think people are kind of split on what he actually is right now.
Yeah, I've seen him again. He actually played against Michael Porter in that Les Schwab tournament in high school, so I got to see him in person. A really, really special athlete as far as explosiveness. He can really elevate quickly. He's fluid and fast, changing ends. You just rarely see guys that coordinated as far as changing ends of the floor, that athletic. He gets some Anthony Davis comparisons. He's probably a little bit more explosive than Davis. Davis wasn't really known for being a high level explosiveness guy. He was just longer, and you know, I think he's just an overall better basketball player. But I'm a little low on him. I have him 5 right now. I'm skeptical because of how he fits into the NBA. I kind of had similar questions about John Collins as far as what position he was going to play. He's kind of a tweener. We don't know his perimeter skill level yet. He hasn't shown a consistent jump shot. He kind of has a two-motion release. It doesn't look ideal. It's good to be a little bit taller and stronger doing that, but I don't know how well his range is going to extend to NBA 3. His handle, he can handle in big spaces, not necessarily tight spaces yet, at least from what we've seen. He had that first game at Duke, and he looked pretty rough around the edges, like he was dropping the ball. He didn't look super coordinated with the ball. So that's a concern just because he doesn't have that great length. His standing reach isn't phenomenal, nor is his wingspan. So how well can he protect the rim from a standstill? I don't know if he has the frame of a 5. But at the end of the day, I think he's just a really, really awesome finishing prospect. Like, he can, you know, pick and roll dive guy. He can catch lobs easily. He can, you know, take a dribble or two in space, elevate and dunk. It just comes down to me, how good is this perimeter defense? Because he's probably not going to be, again, a standstill rim protector. So can he switch on to guys, slide? That's probably the area where I think he's going to fare best at, is that switch potential. And just offensively, is he either a center or a 4? Can he show enough shooting and enough handling, enough decision-making, because decision-making is probably his prominent weakness right now. He's not a guy who's going to catch, dribble, pass to the corner yet. And I mean, the Hawks would be a great destination for him because they're so good at, you know, extracting that from prospects, that passing acumen. So that'd be a good fit for him. But I have a lot of questions about his translatability to the NBA, even though I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, I'm going to defer to you for sure on him, because I know I have not seen him enough to like make sweeping conclusions. I do like what I have seen, but yeah, I did not see his first game at Duke, but I've read and seen a lot of things about how he did not look great in that first look that people got of him, which, you know, it's a small sample, and it's college, and he, you know, got there late, all that stuff. All those caveats are important, but he's not that young either. I mean, he's young, but it's not like people hear that he reclassified, they assume he's super young, but he'll be 19 in March, so he's not that crazy young either. So just file that away. But I do like him. I think, you know, people are sort of split, as you kind of can hear there from Cole, but a very interesting prospect. I guess, I mean, I know you have your guys 3 and 4. I don't want to guess who they are, but I'm willing to guess it's probably a couple of the group that I have next, and that would be Arizona's DeAndre Ayton, Texas Mo Bamba, Michigan State's Miles Bridges, and maybe Colin Sexton. Are your other two guys in the top 5 in that group?
DeAndre Ayton and Mo Bamba, yeah. Right now, I'm sticking kind of with conventional wisdom. I just haven't seen enough to put them down. I go back and forth between these two guys. Ayton has that like elite offensive potential. He's just insane. Like, if you watch his highlights just from the other night, I think it was last night, he runs the floor. He just has elite movement skills. He runs the floor like a guard, changes ends really fluidly, really skilled, tremendously coordinated, can handle in big spaces. He even showed passing on the move, even in a small sample the other night. I've seen that improvement from him from Adidas Nations to Hoop Summit in the past, like a year and a half ago. Soft touch around the basket. Shooting mechanics look projectable. It's a bit flat. And I don't think he can shoot off movement like a Porzingis unicorn type, but I think his free throw mechanics are solid enough, and he's already comfortable shooting college threes. I haven't seen him take any NBA threes yet, but I think that's very much in the equation. The issue for me is defensively. He can sink down and slide when he's engaged, and he can rebound in his own area, high point balls in that regard. And he obviously has the measurements with a 7'5 wingspan, 9'3 standing reach, and some legitimate explosion to protect the rim. It's just how good is his awareness, his instincts on rotations. I don't know yet. He doesn't seem like a super high motor guy. And, you know, I've seen a lot of events, like all-star events, where he's just totally checked out. He looks invisible on the court, and that's not good to see. He got invited to the second Hoop Summit after the first one, and he declined, and he wasn't good in the first one. He just didn't show up in the game. And that's kind of his MO, is when he's not scoring and he's not, you know, the front center of the offense, can he really fit into that scheme? But the talent is the ceiling outcome for him as a center is like almost Towns level, not quite, because nobody's really Towns, but he's in that conversation of elite offensive players.
Yeah, Ayton is very interesting in that, you know, you heard all the motor questions coming in, and then you had this brief period when he got to Arizona where, you know, probably coming from Arizona, like, oh, this guy looks really engaged, et cetera, but you never want to necessarily buy into that until you actually see it, and the rap on him has been motor stuff, but, you know, his upside is kind of insane from what I've seen, and it sounds like you kind of feel the same way from how you're describing him. He's sort of that freak athlete type. I mean, everything in Hawks land is like through the prism of with John Collins. I'm almost trying to get away from that a little bit, just because, you know, Collins has been very good and very fun, but it has to be beyond that. If the Hawks end up picking in the top three, it can't be all about how they fit with Collins, but that'd be an intriguing fit in some ways too, because I'm not sure it's perfect, but I'm not sure it wouldn't work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely, ideally, conceptually, he could space the floor. Collins could run that kind of middle pick and roll, and Ayton could like shoot a corner three. You could alternate between those two guys. I just have a personal philosophy. Like, it's not like a legitimate, it doesn't look like a franchise player. And by that, I mean like Embiid, Simmons, that kind of level. I'm not really drafting around fit. You want to take the best player available, the best talent available, especially when it's still conducive. Like, Collins still can conceptually fit with Ayton or Bamba, who I could talk about a little bit now. It's a, Bamba's kind of the inverse. Like, you can draft Ayton for elite offensive ceiling or Bamba for elite defensive ceiling. He has that Gobert measurables. 7'9 wingspan would be the most in the NBA. 9'6 standing reach is only second to Gobert. So really, he just has the measurables and the mobility. Seen him at Hoop Summit, he can just cover a ton of ground. There's this closeout situation where this guard on the select team was trying to shoot a three, and Bamba came from the other side of the key, raced over and like challenged the shot, and this guy was completely freaked out. You can see it on his face. I think he like airballed the shot. So he has that kind of range. Offensively, he's fluid, he's coordinated, he has good hands, he can change ends on rim runs. I think he can be kind of a lob catcher. He's not like dynamic explosiveness, but he doesn't need to be with his arms. He flashes skill level as a passer, can do a little bit of straight line handle, but I don't think he's as skilled as Ayton is. The shooting is kind of what's going to shape his like super super ceiling outcome. He might be able to shoot a corner three in time. He shoots a little bit over his head. It's not really that fluid, but it looks good enough to where it can be developed over time. You can usually tell with bigs if they're ever going to be able to shoot or not. And he's definitely not someone you look at and say, you know, he's never going to shoot. It's in his realm of outcomes. So he's already comfortable from the mid-range, and he's a pretty good free throw shooter. And on top of that, really, really high IQ, intellect, bright kid. It just comes down to the frame. He's got a lower body, can get moved around by guys like Ayton. He's pretty good at keeping his body off guys like that. I've seen him match up with Ayton a couple times, and he gives him a little bit of a cushion just so he can block a shot without Ayton taking his body out of the way. But can he anchor a defense? Does he have that kind of frame, physicality? Doesn't have the highest motor. And of course, offensively, I think it's not really limited. I think there's more there than meets the eye, but it's not like a super high offensive upside guy. He's not Towns, Porzingis, any of those guys. It's going to be more refined. But if you think about it conceptually, like the ceiling outcome of a Gobert guy who can shoot a corner three, that's pretty absurd.
Yeah, I mean, if that guy exists, then obviously he'd be the number one pick in the draft. It's wild. I floated and sort of talked about Bamba just a little bit around some Hawks circles, and there's always a skepticism in guys. They're defense first. They're just not as sexy, and I get all that. But if Bamba pops in the way that he could, he'd be pretty terrifying. And I'm a sucker for defense because that's something I always worry about, especially rim protection. And Collins has actually been better than I thought he'd be early on, but I don't think he's ever going to be that kind of game-changing defensive player. And the Hawks don't really have that guy right now, so having Bamba around would be a lot of fun for sure. And we'll see what it looks like at Texas. It's sort of a weird fit at Texas too because of the way that Shaka plays. Without getting too deep into college stuff, I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to actually look with him in that system.
Yeah, me too. That's a really interesting system. Personnel-wise, with Andrew Jones and Matt Coleman now commanding the point, we'll see how that goes. I mean, they were not fun to watch last year.
No, they were not. I can attest to that in a big way as well. Well, those are your top five guys, and I think pretty much the consensus top five. Do you see anybody else like maybe sneaking into that group if they have a big year? I know the guys that I mentioned earlier, Miles Bridges from Michigan State, and I guess maybe Colin Sexton from Alabama would be the two that I've heard the most is like potentially sliding into that group. Anybody else that – I mean, either one of those guys, or if you see anybody else that can maybe sneak into that top five?
One other guy, Miles Bridges' teammate, Jaren Jackson Jr., that's another guy who's got a ton of buzz recently. He really performed well at the Hoop Summit, has a lot of momentum. He just turned 18, so he's really young, and he's developed a lot recently. He's a late bloomer kind of guy. His preseason highlights are insane. I haven't watched a full game of his yet, but he just looks really filled out. This is a guy who kind of struggled to move around a little bit, I thought, and now he looks more jacked, and he's mobile. And he has great rim protection instincts. That's the thing that stands out with him. He's all length. He can really cover ground. He has good anticipation. And he has ball skills. Like, he can put the ball on the floor, his high school tape, even at the Hoop Summit, he can go straight line attack. He can finish with either hand, soft touch. He's really great on the boards. And he can shoot the three. It's a weird shot, kind of a knuckleball, but it goes in. It's gone in from the foul line and the three-point line in past events and past AAU play, high school play. So that's someone to keep an eye on top of those other two, which I agree. I think those are kind of my top eight right now. With Colin Sexton and Miles Bridges.
Yeah, Sexton's an interesting guy, and I think a lot of Hawks fans are like almost not even paying attention to him because he's a point guard and they had Dennis Schroeder. But I would not be, as you kind of said earlier, if that's the best guy available, you just take him. I don't think Dennis Schroeder is a good enough player where you would avoid taking a point guard. I understand that the Hawks might prefer to do something else based on their roster and the fact that they don't have a ton of high-level players, but I think you pretty much can't rule anybody out right now, and that should be something to at least file away. Well, Cole, before I let you get out of here, man, the Hawks do have probably, I don't want to say probably, at least one more first-round pick. I think it's pretty clear that the Houston Rockets pick that they are owed is going to be coming, and they could be getting another pick from the Minnesota Timberwolves as well if they're able to make the playoffs. So they could have two picks, sorry, could have three picks in the first round, two in the second half of the first round. I know it's super early, but anybody that you like that you like sort of projects in that lower section of the first round? Because I know Hawks fans always ask me like who to watch for. I know it's a little early for me to be diving in 30 deep into the NBA draft. I know you have at this point.
Yeah, I'll kind of take this as a wide spectrum and start with guys that might not be there but could.
For sure.
They're a little bit ranked lower than I think on consensus boards than I have them. Troy Brown from Oregon. Someone who I really like. He reminds me kind of a Swiss Army knife, Chris Middleton type player, but a better ball handler, better ball skills. He played high school point guard, and he's a great fit in Oregon's kind of versatile scheme. He had 9 assists in his first game, just really unselfish. Every event he stands out at because he just plays the right way. He has that size, frame, length, fluid athleticism you look for, great feel. He can run pick and rolls, I think, in time. He just really comes down to the shot with him, which he's really improved. He used to have a hitch in his shot. And now he can shoot kind of off movement a little bit, off the dribble, definitely off the catch with time and space. So really monitor that shooting acumen because that's huge for him. But he does have ball skills. He does have feel. And he defends. I mean, he's 6'7 with a 6'11 wingspan. He's good laterally. So he's a versatile kind of what you want in a current modern day NBA wing. I know the Hawks already have Taurean Prince, DeAndre Bembry. He would just fit really nicely in that scheme. Just a high IQ guy that moves the ball. Another guy from the people are probably familiar with because he is a junior now from Villanova, Mikal Bridges. Really awesome athlete as far as, he has the measurables, outstanding size, length, athleticism, good length. I think he has a 7'1 wingspan, I want to say. He knows who he is as a player. He played with Josh Hart, and so his usage was really low, along with Jalen Brunson as well. So he really played within his lane, straight up kind of 3-and-D prospect. that can defend point of attack. He can hit a stationary three. Mechanics aren't ideal. It's a little rigid, but he looks capable off the catch. Not going to give you much off the dribble. Can move the ball and make an extra pass, but is an excellent finisher. Like he's been, I think he's over 80% at the rim on relatively decent usage in every year of his college career. Great touch with either hand. That's someone to keep an eye on. It's kind of just a prototype modern NBA wing. Two more guys that will probably actually be there for sure. Jacob Evans from Cincinnati, another 3-and-D kind of prospect. And if you're not catching on to that trend, that's kind of where I think the depth of the class is these kind of wing types that are really valuable in the current modern landscape.
You can never have too many of those guys either. That's the big thing. I think I always say that all the time, and people get probably frustrated with me, but you can kind of never have too many of those guys. Like you can't. I know the Hawks already have two. They invested two first-round picks in wings, but like you just can't have too many of them.
Yeah, even for your own team or for just tradability. I mean, they're always going to have value because they're so scarce right now. But Jacob Evans, underrated athlete, can play above the rim in space. He really has a nice jump shot, simple one-motion release, a little bit lower release point, but I think he has enough shot diversity to fit in Atlanta's scheme. Specifically, he can shoot kind of off pull-ups, spot-ups, and then a little bit off flare actions. I think there's a lot to work with there. He really defends. I like that Cincinnati defensive culture. He has that physicality. He's just not going to give you much as a self-creator. He's more of a just 3-and-D guy that has decent length. But he should be there late in the first round, probably even in the second. I think he'll probably make it to the second round. He's not as highly regarded, I don't think, in NBA circles as he is from some of the people that I know. And lastly, a guy from USC, D'Anthony Melton, another returning sophomore. Really, really super versatile. Plays bigger than his size. You saw him defend Markelle Fultz last year. Another one of those 3-and-D types, but with a little bit of secondary handle ability because he's a functional athlete. You see that functional athleticism trickle into so many elements of his game, steals, blocks, everything. He pretty much does everything across the board except for shoot at a high level. And that's the problem with him is he's got a pretty fast release and mechanics look workable, but his elbow's out. So there's some small things he has to work on there. He's not like a really great explosive athlete in terms of finishing, but just another one of those guys who can defend point guards, has good feel, and can fit in a team construct. I think he would do. He would fit well in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean that definitely sounds like the kind of guy that would fit well with the Hawks. And listen, Atlanta's going to have their own second round pick too, which are probably going to be very, very high in the 30s. So could have as many as four picks in the top 35, which is very interesting to think about. I know it's kind of seems like it's far away, but it's not. I have to ask you about one selfish thing for me. I'm a big Michigan fan, so please tell me what I should think about Mo Wagner.
Oh, geez.
I know. People are very split on Mo Wagner. I know there was one outlet famously high on him that was kind of funny last year. He made the right decision to go back to college. I know that, and I'm not telling you. You have to suck up to me on this one, I promise you. But I just want to know if he's even like somewhat on the radar or if he's just a fun college guy.
Yeah, he's on the radar. I think he'd be a late round two guy. I mean, he can shoot a little bit pick and pops at that size. I think you have to consider him eventually. There's comes a point in a draft where there just aren't that many draftable players. You're just drafting for skill and size. If anything, he makes your summer league team a little bit better. I'm not huge on him as a prospect overall. I just don't know how he defends enough. So I'm big on defense with bigs. That's kind of a philosophical thing, unless you're like a really, really good offensive player that kind of breaks that mold. So that's kind of my take. I know guys that are a little bit higher than me, though.
Yeah, for sure. And I've heard Sam, who I know you're, I'm going to let you plug that appearance and anything else you want to plug in a second. You know, you do this regular appearance with Sam Vecini. I know Sam is not a fan of Mo Wagner as a prospect. So we've talked about them both online and offline a couple of times. But I had to ask, as a Michigan guy, he's kind of the only guy that's in the mix right now for the Wolverines. So I had to at least get that out there. Well, Cole, man, I appreciate it greatly, this insight. It's invaluable to me and basically everybody that's going to be listening for sure. Please take this opportunity, plug anything you want to, man, because I always read your stuff, but tell people where they can find it.
I appreciate that, man. I do a weekly hit on the Game Theory podcast with Sam Vecini. We're kind of going positionally over all the different 2018 class. Right now, we just did wings, so we're going to do combo forwards next. So some of the guys we just talked about, you're probably going to hear me rehash that if you listen to it. With Michael Porter Jr., Luka Doncic. We'll go in depth on that. And we are actually launching a draft-related website next week, the Stepien. So if you haven't checked that out, you can go to thestepien.com and sign up for our newsletter. So with that website, we're basically going to be going over AAU, college, NBA prospects, draft analysis, all of that stuff. It's going to be like a one-stop kind of hub for NBA draft-related content. So check that out. I think we're going to launch either Thursday or Friday. Don't hold me to that. But yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, and definitely check that site out as well. I know Friend of the program, Jeff Siegel, who I'm good friends with, works over on my site at Peachtree Hoops, does some stuff over there at the Step Back, where you also do some stuff too. So that's a little bit of synergy on the podcast, and I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Of course.
As for everybody else, please stay tuned. The Hawks play a basketball game tonight as you're listening to this on Friday, so we'll stay tuned for a recap of that, and as always, enjoy the day.